We're just waiting for the chairperson of the board to finish up. When the chair of the board has finished, then we'll start. Members, now that the chair of the new chair of the board has said, can we start again? Honorable Dube, can we start? Can we have one meeting? Let me welcome those who came a little bit late for whatever reason. We got your apologies and we accept you as you are. Both from both sides, by the way, from MRC and from the members. I'm not going to point to us, but we welcome you. Now it's time for us to interrogate this report, members. I'll be looking at your heads, those who want to ask. I'm just going to be facilitating myself, but I know this area has got serious challenges, financial challenges. I'm not sure if I read it properly when it is said where you get your money. And on simple calculation, I think you're getting about 5% from government. That is from Department of Science and Technology and Department of Health, looking at the graph that he had put. Which makes me a little bit worried that if the person who gives you the money is the person that you respect most. So those who are giving you more money, you respect them more than those who are giving you less money. But I'm not putting a question. It's just an observation. And the other one that I observed is that some of the historically disadvantaged universities, according to the graphs that I saw, they're still getting very small amount of money from you. Well, probably one of the things that I think we don't need to... We need to be strategic in doing, not to lower the standards of those that have been good, but try and upgrade that those that have been historically disadvantaged without lowering the standards of the others. It's another thing that one noticed. I don't know, but you can explain. And you can see the challenges, that there are still challenges in getting some of the researchers, of people who are doing research work, as far as the demographics. But those are the things that you don't need to answer to me, but it's just some of the things that I was observing as I was reading your document. But members, I saw Honorable Nomo's hand, I saw Honorable Mike, I saw Honorable Lecheto, I saw Honorable More, I recognize you, Honorable Ngatekhana. Okay, can you go according to that?
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks for that marathon input, which was quite a marathon. I am interested in the intellectual property. I'm sure you've got your own intellectual property unit or center. Do you at any time, particularly because you're also working with indigenous medicines or indigenous knowledge systems, ever refer some of the clients, customers, or people to the Technology Innovation Agency so that they're able to participate and be involved, so that at the end of the day there might be some commercialization even for the MRC. Indigenous Knowledge System, what funding are you getting? Because once upon a time we were told they were only getting 10 million. So at this point in time, is there any improvement in the funding that is given to this unit? I was quite interested in the quick diagnostic method for tuberculosis. Maybe do you have any literature on this so that you can share it with some of us? Because if it really is real and has got the very desired effect, we would really like to make statements and some inputs around it to inform South Africans about this. The new drug for XDR, what's the cost? Because what's the cost for coming up with it, and what's the cost for its being implemented or being used? And finally, telemedicine. I'm quite impressed that because telemedicine has been in the pipeline, now it's out of the pipe, though not much. Are there any other countries in the continent that are also participating in telemedicine, or that you are sharing information with them? And has it been quite effective, particularly for rural communities? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think it was honorable, Mike.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the presenters. I'm just going to focus on three issues: women and child mortality, AIDS, and then cancer. And just on women and child mortality, I mean, the pages aren't numbered, but on page, I've done it myself, on page 22, strategic objective number one, NSDA output, increasing life expectancy. I mean, it talks about setting baselines to monitor progress, and it was also mentioned that there isn't one standardized measuring tool or baseline for child mortality and maternal mortality, and that we have five different focuses or sources. It's been raised with the departments itself, but the fact is, I find it extremely strange, or actually worrying more than strange, that 11 years into a particular program that's 15 years long, we still haven't standardized a tool in which we measure child mortality and maternal mortality. And if you could just elaborate on that, why is that, you know, what were the reasons for that? And when do you think we will have a standardized tool so we can determine what the exact mortality rates are for child and maternal? And then on page, on the same issue, on page 25, output 2, decreasing maternal and child mortality, it says here, identification of barriers to the successful implementation of current programs. And to give an example of prevention of mother to child, I mean, what are the barriers for successful implementation to mother to child, and other barriers for reducing child and maternal mortality to the MDG goals targets for 2015? I mean, what are these barriers that you talk about? If you could unpack that. Then on cancer, I think it's on page 22, with the ladies in the Eastern Cape, the picture. You mentioned cancer risk reduction, but we still don't have the cancer registry, that updated one. That we talked about it last year when you came to the committee, I believe. I stand corrected, but I think the cancer registry is over 10 years old now, or somewhere in that vicinity. I mean, what is happening to update the cancer registry? Because we, as a health department, we're allocating funds according to a very old registry when, over a 10-year period, things change and not new cancers develop, but certain cancers could be more, common than other cancers, right? Now, if you look at cervical cancer and breast cancer, I mean, that's one area where there's supposedly a huge increase, and we may not be adequately funding those particular cancers when we might be giving more money to other types of cancers. So if you can just inform us when that cancer registry will be completed, or when do you envisage, and what's your role in ensuring that cancer registry is developed and updated? And then just on AIDS, on pages 11 and 12, where you've got the number of non-natural and natural deaths, I mean, I know you've explained it, that HIV/AIDS is quite low on the list, and we did raise that last year when you were here. But the fact is, it's a non, it's a non-notifiable disease. So how, as far as I'm aware, I mean, maybe the policy's changed. So, I mean, how did you get the 13,500 males or deaths, you know, in 2007 and 15,000 in 2008? I mean, how were they identified if it's a non-notifiable disease? Because normally people say a person dies of TB or pneumonia, whatever the case is. And then just on page 11, I mean, it's quite terrific. I mean, this, I think this table, Chair, clearly indicates the gravity of the pandemic. I mean, how the number of natural deaths have increased over a 10-year period or 11-year period. And many, I suppose, are due to HIV/AIDS. And I think it just highlights, Chair, without making it too political, the decade of denialism, what it's cost this country as far as human life is concerned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think it's in the
thanks, Chair. Let me take the opportunity to thank the presentations. I haven't labeled them like honorable, or numbered them like honorable voters. You're talking about 974 personnel. And you further say you expect more blacks and women scientists. I just want to check with you your vacancy rate at this particular time. If any, when are you filling those vacant posts? You're talking also about diabetes research. Recently, I read in an article about a discovery by KwaZulu-Natal University, where they were saying that they have discovered a medicine that could change. Are you aware about that, and what are you doing about that? Can you? Yes, that's my. Sorry. That could better the treatment of diabetes. Yes. Some of the questions, Honorable Walters, on maternal child mortality rates has already asked a question on that, so I'm not going to repeat it. But just to emphasize that there is a concern that we have recently received reports that in the Eastern Cape and Limpopo, child are dying, and that's a serious crisis. What is your take on that? You're talking about decreasing. Instead, it's increasing. Thanks, Chair.
I think it was Dr. Khanal and then Memor. Okay.
Thank you. I didn't label my pages or slides as well. This one has been asked already. There's a slide talking to research translation. I'm not sure where you put the second slide on that page, but talks to the translational blocks. When you say lack of willing participants, are these participants at community level where research is done? Or are these participants maybe at any other level, if you can just expatiate on that. And then you've got lack of funding. I think we've seen this over and over. And then career disincentives. That is none, they don't have incentives or something. If you can tell us more about that. I mean, assume these are some of the challenges within the MRC, but do you have plans to try and cap some of those challenges or address some of those challenges in compatible databases? If you can tell us more about that. But generally, I do understand that if we don't translate research into policy practice and all that, then we are a doomed nation. And then the other question talks to the slide that talks to nutrition. Nutrition, yeah. Sometime last year, we learned that the food labeling in most of food products is actually incorrect. It's just for advertising and all that. And I think last year when you came, we've spoken about that to some extent. So I just want to know if you've done any survey on this. I know you're not responsible for the testing, but have you done any survey to say, yes, you know, is it correct or not? And have you advised the minister on this? Because, I mean, if we have people suffering from HIV, AIDS, diabetes, all those things, and we've got food labelings that are incorrect because of marketing, you know, reasons, then, like I said before, we are a doomed nation. And then on telemedicine, very interesting. Telemedicine in schools and the workstations that will be introduced, who's going to pay for them? Who's responsible for the procurement? Is it the science and technology, the health, or MRC? But I guess it won't be MRC. And then the maintenance of that, because we've seen in the past, we come up with all these nice innovations, but at the end, they are not maintained. And eventually, it becomes a white elephant where we've got a lot of workstations that are not actually working. And it creates confusion with the people who actually operate the machines. Because 2 minutes you are electronic, 2 minutes you are doing with a manual, you know, hands recording, blah, 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 all those things. So who will be responsible for the purchasing in the first place and the maintenance? Yeah, the issue of the IP, intellectual property, has been asked already. It will be very interesting. And then on the slide that talks to transformation, EE, employment equity. I'm not sure, in one of your slides that I've spoken to about the challenges, I think there was something about staffing. But anyway, when I check your female percentage here, I see discrepancy on level 2, middle management, the difference there is 21, on junior management, it's 40, semi-skilled 36. This is just for interest to say in a lot of companies, or maybe let me be specific, in the Department of Health currently, not even currently, from I think the past 2 years, including this year, there have been that notification that they've increased a lot of administrative and management positions. But now it's becoming disproportionate in a way that the operational people are becoming more fewer, the managers are becoming, you know, the number of the managers is increasing. So are you not going to have the same problem at MRC where you find yourself having a lot of managers? Because if you look at, I mean, only two roles, the last two roles, are people who are at operational. And then from there, all four roles, it's management, management, management. Are you not going to get to a point where you've got a lot of managers and less people who are, you know, operational? So I'm not sure. I just want to ask you, how are you going to reach the numbers in terms of the difference? I mean, do you have any plan? Because the difference is very huge, you know. The difference is very huge. And I'm talking to both black and female. Your employment equity slides. How are you going to meet your target? And then okay, the budget. Okay, the last question was about previously when you came, we spoken to you and you gave us some very innovative ways that you're going to use to ensure that the research that you do gets to the communities. Remember, there will be road shows or something. I can't remember some of the things, but you had very innovative strategies. How far are you with that? Are you winning in terms of ensuring that whatever research you do reaches the people on the ground, they understand the outcome analysis of the research and the impact, you know, of the research in terms of change behavior and all that? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to ask some, I don't know whether there are a few questions, but the first question I have is, you spoke about key stakeholders involved in your strategic plans. I would like them to just explain to us about who do they regard as their key stakeholders. And the other thing is that, look, like everybody said, I think Honorable Moraes just said so, that the aim of research should be to solve certain problems. There might be reasons why we are not going to reach some of the MDGs. And if we are not going to reach them, have you looked into ways of in which you, or suggestions in concerning ways in which we can intervene to try and solve those particular problems which would make us not reach that? And the other question is the use of their research findings, which involves other departments. I mean, like issues like poverty reduction, violence, unsafe water. If they have done research and they have got suggestions, how do they interact with other departments and monitor with other departments to see that this research is utilized? In one of the slides, I think on the list of different types of diseases, you include something called certain disorders involving the immune mechanism. I'll just want to know what does that mean, because I could not understand that. The other point involves the funding by funders. It's more or less linked to the question you ask. Who owns the intellectual property in terms of this funding? And the other thing is, what is the role of the funders in one, suggesting or directing research areas for research? Because you don't have to instruct people, you can suggest. To say, I suggest that you use this, or you say, I can give you an allocation to do research in this particular area. How do they do that? The other point is this health research capacity. Does universities apply, or do you interact with universities to do certain type of research? And ensuring that universities don't duplicate areas of research, so that we can have a broader research capacity. When I look at the MRC budget 2011-2012 on the slide, it looks more like income, where they say they will get the money. But when I look at page 20 of the annual performance plan, it looks like more expenditure. And in terms of the expenditure, they have also budgeted for the over expenditure of about, I think, 14 million, which they will probably, they say they will get a shortfall from the National Treasury. That confuses me about there's a separate MRC budget of 2011-2012 in the slides, and there's a separate South African Medical Research Council 2011-2012 budget. How do they link? Because usually I see budgets say this is our income and this is going to be our expenses. And including this, It seems as if they talk more about the, if you look at the slides where they say they are funders, there's quite a lot of funders. But if you look at this budget on the slides, there is nowhere where they mention any of the funders. I'm not sure whether the funders' income, which I regard as income to MRC, whether the funders' income is a separate operation, which is not disclosed by the MRC, or they combine all their income and then have one budget. Whether there is another budget which we have not been informed about in terms of the expenditure from the funders. Because when you look at the funders, there's quite a lot of money which are not coming from government, which I don't know where do they account for that, because they have not disclosed it here. On page 20, there's, I mean, when you look at salaries, the malaria, NCRP, and nutritional intervention, I don't know whether the salaries is high because of the quality of researchers and their level, or their salaries are high because there are more people involved in those particular areas. But what I also don't understand is that under HIV prevention, HIV, they have got two rentals, operations rental, Devon building Westville, and other Devon rentals. I don't know whether other Devon rentals means that there are other different buildings, several other buildings, or is another building which they've done that. And that's really something which I don't understand, which I think they can clarify me on that. And if they say top 10 funders, are there other funders other than the top 10? And why are those who are not part of the top 10 not being disclosed? That's really my question, sir. I hope there are few.
Let's hope there are few. Okay. Honorable Dudley.
Thanks. I'm looking at the slide where the challenges start, the first one. And it says human capacity, aging of productive scientists, etc., and then goes down further to collaborations and ability to harness research capacity in academic and research organizations. Just wondering what specific measures you are planning to counter those challenges. Is the problem largely financial? And if not, what else is it that the MRC doesn't have or should have or could have to attract the necessary skills? Do you see the possibility of the situation changing in this particular budget situation, or has the council had to resign themselves to the situation? If there's a resigning situation, what will be compromised? And what will the greatest loss be to South Africa in the situation we're in budget-wise? And then just to ask, are equity targets actually stopping you filling posts? Are there blockages around that situation? Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable two.
Chairperson, thanks for the presentation. And maybe the questions that I'm going to ask might be of a layman from the street, but I really need to get clarities. There's a page 5, I think, where it talks of 5 developments. The question that I want to ask is that if Human Research Council, Medical Research Council, talks of half poverty and unemployment by 2014. What is it that they mean? Because I don't know whether they have capacity of doing that, like all the three that are following. The second one is that when they talk of data, when we look at the risk factor of diseases, that data was collected in 2007/2008. The question is in two folds. This data is so old that we are talking of a budget or something that is related to 2011. How often do they collect the data? But also the question related to that, or the second question to that, is that how do they collect the data? Do they Google, or do they go out and, you know, make their own research? What method do they use? The other question is, when we talk of health promotion, as researchers, I want to be told as to how many types of these illegal drugs that we have in the country, have they ever entered that market to check the drugs that is killing our people, and what are they made out of? Can they maybe help us around this? The other question is research around food. You know, we see frozen food, we see canned food, we see dry fruits, but the rate that our communities are developing obesity, diabetic, and all these diseases that are not communicable. What is it that they can advise us on? Because sometimes during the week we were told of something that is very disturbing about the frozen chicken. You know, people were telling, you know, us, you know, very, very, very critical and nasty stuff that one, even if I don't have concrete information, but they say they take frozen chicken that is about to, what do you call it, get spoiled or expire, they wash it or they pump water or whatever. I think it's those 2 kgs that they say it's for poor of the poorest, you know. So I just want to check, have you ever made some research, or can you, if you haven't started? But the last question was asked by my colleague about the vacant posts, and as we heard the president talking about the job creation, do we see this department maybe filling the empty post or the vacant post, or maybe creating jobs that might be extra out of whatever the president is asking for to do? So I think these are my simple layman questions. Thanks, Stephen.
I thought you had the last one, too, but there are 2 hands that are coming up. Okay, Honorable Kenya and Honorable Sohan.
Thank you, Shepherd. Unfortunately, most of my questions have been asked. I'm just going to ask on the question of SAVI under the heading SAVI Clinical Trials. Unfortunately, like we're always talking about this numbering of these lines, but unfortunately, it becomes a problem to us when you want to check, to recheck what you want to ask. What I'm going to ask is about the clinical trials on SAVI. I understand that this has been approved in January 2010 about the NCC, by the NCC. But now it's a year ago, and we're still talking about clinical trial has been submitted to the FDA for approval. Now, how long will it going to take? As we say, that the site is to evaluate the safety and immunogenicity. Therefore, these tests are done, as these tests are done, but now there is no speed up follow up. How far will it take, therefore? Again, I'm concerned about the rural areas. There are clinics there, and most of these programs don't go down there in those remote areas, whereas there are some clinics and cocktail centers. Therefore, have you got any mechanism to see that even these healthy, there are also healthy participants there? Do you ever have those healthy participants? You're talking about 36 participants from South Africa, which has already undergone this process. Do you think that in the 184 you're talking about, you include also the rural areas, because they are also left behind all the time? Thank you, Shepherd.
Thank you. Most of the people who are presenting are doctors. Now, doctors have got a problem of, because they've been using stethoscope for such a long time, they've got difficulty in hearing. So if you could be louder. I'm talking from experience.
Thank you, Chairperson. unfortunate that the feeling is mutual. Whenever MRC present, I sort of like, I don't understand, they are too high or whatever. But unfortunately, I represent the people on the ground who really want to feel and see. Now, I was thinking that I see that it's an annual performance plan, but I would have been very happy that if I could have heard about performance review of the last financial year, so that this financial year, where are we? What we have planned, like I was sitting in this type of a meeting when they were presenting their plan, but I can't hear Hore, what have they achieved in their plan in their last year. What impact is this doing to the Department of Health? Because whenever we talk as politicians, we'll be saying that the health is not really doing what it's supposed to do. Now, I would want to hear how does they assist so that they can achieve what I'm seeing written here, saying building a healthy nation through research. That's number one. More often when it has been said, even by the department, it has been a common practice or a common saying that there is poor data. There is something wrong with our data. And I know that they said that when you put garbage out in, the garbage will get out. I would like to know how do they really work around this problem, because they themselves, they agree, they are telling us there is problem in data collection. They don't get proper data. Now, what I know is research really rely on correct data. You cannot research and come up with an output with the data which is not correct. I will really want to understand how do they go through there. The presenter, when he presented, he acknowledged that they are working very well with Western Cape. I will want to know how do they work with the other provinces on the whatever he was talking around Western Cape, because we want to get what Western Cape do have to other departments, to other provinces, because at the end of the day, Western Cape has been having it nice for quite nice. I want Western Cape in Northwest. Thank you.
I'm not sure why there's a big smile next to you, but there's a big smile next to you. Those are the questions. I suppose you are not the only one who's going to be answering questions. The whole team, even those that are behind me, are going to be answering questions. Probably we don't expect the new board to answer questions because they're still new, but anybody should feel free. We have got 45 minutes to do that. I know your organization is a very important organization for government, especially in the area of policy making and in producing researchers that would be responding to the needs of South Africa. Hence, we're asking these questions of clarity as you're telling us your strategy, I mean your threat plan. So get on and tell us what how these members, I think they've accepted your threat plan, but they just want to know more. But I think there's a question that was very important, which came from Ntate Ganare, which says you are getting money from government, but there are other monies that you are getting from somewhere. Where do you account for those monies? I think it was an important question. And the other one is this one that says, country government using you to make policies, and if they use you to make policies on your research work, what has been the impact of that? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jay. You are correct. This is a team effort, so there will be inputs from specific members, but I also have to share with the committee and the chair that where we don't have the answers directly, we will respond, get the question, answers to the questions and respond in writing, because certainly there are areas that are expertise areas that we might not have the answers. But before continuing and responding to the members' questions, just for absolute clarity and to put on the table, but firstly for me to apologize, with the top 10 funders slide, the one with the graph, where it says Department of Health, I think it says 3%, that's just the external funding. That does not include the parliamentary grants, which is reflected in the subsequent table, you know, the increments of the baseline. So just to make that clear. External funder and HDIs, sorry, the chair mentioned that about the HDIs. What I can say is that in the graph with the self-initiated research where there's University of Cape Town on the left, what that is a reflection of is are actually the numbers of applications that were submitted and those that were successful. So it doesn't mean that we did not get funding from, let's call it, or applications from the HDIs. We've recognized that problem, and I've tried to reflect with that graph, with the bar graphs, the red ones, that the MRC, and again, we're keeping it separate from the general application for SIRs, a separate pool with ring-fence funding, but it's not inferior. It's just kept separate where the applications are assessed. This project is specific in that.
Maybe can I explain on that part of the question of the HDIs? I think the probably question that it's probably not for you, but it's just to say you cannot put in money where there's no capacity. So, but if there is no capacity at Walter Sisulu or wherever, this is something that probably you need to bring to us or to the department, so that we try and look at ways how do we capacitate those ones so that you could easily give them money, because you're not just going to give me money only to find that I don't even know what research is all about. But you're giving me because I'm a historical disadvantaged university. That would be out of order. But if there's no capacity in that university, and this is what we need to look into as government, as parliament, and see how do we capacitate that area, so that it could be given easily, the money. When they apply, they could get the money easily. I think that probably that's not your question. It's for the government, but it's something that you can mention to us.
Chair, no, thanks for that, but I just want to reiterate that we are, it's not just the one unidirectional. We are sending and have sent teams out to the universities to encourage them and assist with workshops in grant writing and so forth. So it's not just the one. Now to the specific questions, I think on IP, Mr. Mashlanga will respond to that first thing.
Yes, the IP, I think the first question the members will have to help me. There are quite a few very complex questions. The first one relates to how to ensure that we involve with the community. The communities participate in the process of commercialization. If there's any research, if there's any research benefits that require commercialization. I don't have specific details relating to IKS and this space where they work with the communities. But I know that in the past 2 years, we haven't had any companies registered. We're commercializing anything. What I would have to do is to get detail in terms of licensing out, because commercialization can happen in many forms. We should indicate, though, Chair, that I think it was a year ago, 2 years back, when this beneficiation process kick-started, and a policy has been created in this regard, and it is the understanding of our scientists that indeed where the communities are involved, they have to create an environment where they can benefit if part of the IP comes from the communities. And as far as international funding is concerned, it's another complex area, Chair, and it's related to the vet laws. A lot of your international funders will always argue that we do not want to see any of the monies that we spend on your country being taken to the fiscus in the form of vet input. So the idea is that you want to structure this funding in such a way that we can claim vet input. But essentially what it means is that the transaction has to be zero rated. In other words, if you get money from overseas, you do not pay vet output, but you can claim vet input. Now that comes with its own consequences as far as IP is concerned, because one of the requirements is that if the IP stays in the country where you get funding from, then you can be able to zero rate the transaction. In other words, there is no requirement to pay the 14% VAT output. However, if the country retains IP, then you have to pay out that 14% to government, and as I indicated, then you have got a problem of, for instance, receiving 100 million rands from a funder, but you end up spending 90 million rands because effectively there is a VAT. There's VAT that you need to pay out. It's a complex one, Chair, because I think it talks to your strategy, but it also talks to what type of research is critical so that where necessary you can make compromises. But if it's a type of research that is not constructive or that critical, then perhaps you might not be willing to make such compromises as far as IP is concerned. There is a new act that was promulgated last year, I think it's referred to as IPRA, and it indicates that where government is spending money in terms of full costing, then you have to make sure that IP stays within the country. We've got a policy in this regard which we are updating. So, Chair, the processes are in place to make sure that where government is funding research, that IP is within the country. As a matter of fact, we have an innovation center which, amongst other things, is to make sure that whatever research is generated and where possible is commercialized. So I think there is awareness in that respect. And I don't know if you wanted to ask, because I think there's budget issues that have been raised as well. Perhaps I should just come in after. Yeah. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Lenati. Chair, can I continue? Maybe just to emphasize again about the Innovation Center, the Honorable Member is not here. She talked about TIA. Now, certainly there is discussion between the MRC and TIA. And I've made a note here about funding of IKS. I think the question was what money they were getting, the units. Without the specific response, I know that the NRF and DST are giving substantial amounts of money to the Indigenous Knowledge Unit, Research Unit. And then on literature, I think it referred, the reference was to the new drug. We will make it available. Was it on
diabetes mellitus from the University of KwaZulu-Natal?
No, that's okay. The question was literature on the new drug, I think the cost and so forth. Or the diagnostics, sorry. So we will supply that, what it costs and information. Sorry, it was about the diagnostic test for TB on site. And then from the Honourable Member Waters about the, I've got it as under the area of maternal and child health, the baseline data, child and maternal mortality, when we're going to get a standardized tool and so on, what are the barriers. Now, as I mentioned, we all recognize the problem, but we are also trying to assist the department in addressing the problem. There's a data coordinating committee, I think that's the title of this committee, that was called by the Director General of Health with a specific brief of trying to sort out or to try and have a standardized or understood baseline, and the MRC is directly involved in that. I do know that it's currently operating. inspirational because in January, when the board had the induction meeting, a member of the Department of Health who chairs that committee had to leave for an earlier meeting. So, but I also want to put into context, because there was another question later on about data and information and so forth and how it's used. Firstly, evidence, and I did refer to it in my presentation. Evidence is relevant for that time, but you need to be up to speed and be aware that it might change. So the challenges of data and information collection nationally, the tools that have been used are varied. There have been challenges within the Department of the National Information System, but it has been flagged as a high priority. For example, data sources can come from either surveillance sites, like the site in Africa Centre in KwaZulu-Natal or in Asian Court in Mpumalanga, where the MRC has a research unit. So these people and communities are followed up annually, for example, but the same people. Or you can have surveys, for example, the Demographic and Health Survey. The last one in South Africa was in 2008, I think it was. And there are issues or were issues as to when it could be done, is there money to subsidize it? But the MRC is integrally involved, has been and will be, as far as the technical aspects are concerned, about, but not actually implementing it, because other agencies actually do the work. That's where populations, like with the census, are interviewed, firstly sampled and then interviewed. And the critical aspects there are the nature of the questionnaires, the accuracy and such like. So that's the source of information. The other sources of information which the government uses and researchers too are from the healthcare facilities. I've also mentioned about the huge caseloads at the facilities and where nurses are the prime people who have to give care, administer treatment, but also collect information. I'm mentioning this because these are the areas that we, meaning the MRC and the Health Systems Research Unit in particular, are looking at those elements of quality of information and how to optimize the collection of information and which collection. So I know it sounds an old refrain, but it's a challenging aspect. On our continent, relatively speaking, I mean, we are far miles ahead of the rest of our African neighbors where there's just no information. But we need it, but I don't have a specific answer, but just to say that it is challenging. And the question of modeling, for example, I think honorable members also need to know, for example, AIDS data, or even what they call bioinformatics, is based on generation of models, and so it's not actual, the real data on the ground. My view is it can all be used, but it must just be qualified. So when you use a certain figure, you say it's in that context. It is a challenge, but that is currently being addressed. Mr. Waters asked about the cancer registry. Unfortunately, Prof. Suram, who responded at our last meeting, he's not here, but we can. What I can say from what I can remember with our response last year was that it has been flagged. He is the director of the Oncology Research Unit. There's a partnership with NHLS where there will be the repository and information be made available, and also linkages with the Department of Health, the non-communicable disease department. So beyond that, I mean, I can access some information and supply it, but unless any of the other members of the MRC team has more information. Nirish? The question of on the home effect, on the natural causes of death, how come it was identified or how they identified as AIDS, I mentioned that the source of that information is the death certificate that is filled in by a medical practitioner. And although HIV and AIDS is not notifiable, like with pneumonia or asthma or so forth, that is the prerogative or responsibility of the attending physician or the one filling in the form to fill it in according to his or her discretion. And this is why the MRC, for example, is doing work at university. with undergraduate students, medical students, to try and get them to fill it in accurately. I don't know if there's a counter response. No, from Honourable Member Orchards, is that?
And the thing is, this one.
Continue. Okay, thank you. With a vacancy rate.
Well, Chair, just a question, one about maternal and child mortality. The barriers haven't been discussed.
Difficult one, because it's actually the healthcare providers, but just from my point of view, from pediatrics and child health point of view and health services, it can be the whole range of location firstly. So we're talking about rural areas, the nature of the clinics, the nature of the staff and capacity of the staff, the access to medications. So there'd be a whole host, not necessarily all at the same place or area, but there's a whole raft of areas where the blocks could be, or the barriers. But beyond the clinic, I mean, there's the community and awareness, stigma. So this is what I meant by social context, and that if, for example, a different sector is involved, like water and sanitation, they should also be involved. So I know I'm giving a broad answer, but the reality is there are many reasons why the mortality could be so high. With the next section, or the next question, was on vacancy rates. I think the question was, when will the post be filled? I don't know if Zukilia or Bulelani would like to respond on that one.
The vacancy rate within MRC is below 3% at this point in time. It's particularly not problematic at all. I think the one vacancy that has taken a little bit longer, just over a year, it's the position of their president. The previous board had started on it, and then the executive authority then came in and then shifted the responsibility of appointing the new president to the current board. The current board is already handling it. The advert closed on Friday, and the board will be looking on this matter tomorrow, for instance. So it is moving indeed. I think the greatest challenge that we've been having at MRC and internally in terms of filling positions has been our long procedure in filling that. So we have re-engineered that position such that our pledge now is to be able to fill the position from the time it is advertised to the appointment in 42 days, so that would streamline it. There are, yes, positions that crop up from time to time. Take, for instance, on the support side. Because we are a medical research council, our emphasis is always on the scientists per se. Whenever a support position comes up, we scrutinize it. We don't fill it automatically. We interrogate to see, is it really necessary to fill that position, or should we fill it simply because it has been filled in the last 10 years? So you do find positions cropping up that way, but more often than not, it's a deliberate action not to fill in that position. Thanks, Chair.
I'm hoping that some of the members can be allowed to apply for the post for the president.
Unfortunately, Chair, if they had not applied already, that opportunity has come and gone. Only those who have already applied would be considered.
You know what I'm going to do? Because of that, I'm going to give at the end
answering questions, but I'll give the chairperson of the new board to make a comment at the end. I'm giving him so that you could make us, instead of open up, despite the fact that it was closed on Friday, to open up so that some members would apply. Okay. Is that all, Mr. Damson?
But thanks to Zukili on that. Then there was a question on diabetes research, and I want to ask the MRC colleagues within the know, are we talking about a traditional medicine, or are we talking about the report on the longer-acting insulin? I'm not sure myself.
I think the question was about the indigenous knowledge, the traditional medicine, that there's a claim that there's one that has been found in Natal. Unfortunately, the member is not here, but I think he was talking about indigenous knowledge on diabetes.
Yeah, I'm not aware, but Johan, are you aware?
I think he's referring to the University of Natal at Pietermaritzburg, where they actually got a new delivery system of insulin with a patch instead of injecting. That's, I think, where they're referring. That was the last 6 months came up from Natal, was the new way of actually delivering insulin, and not, per se, a plant or a natural product, in as far as my knowledge goes.
Thank you. Through you, just to share again the question of information accuracy of information. So I did read in the papers probably a week ago about a longer acting insulin, but it was in the Sunday Times, I think, but the information was so wrong. I mean, it talks about diabetes type 1 and type 2 and mixed the two up, and somebody actually wrote in and said it was a mistake, because type 2 diabetes is much more common than type 1 when one needs insulin. So again, the accuracy of information one needs to interrogate. And then I think the honourable member talked about children dying in Limpopo and the Eastern Cape. I think, without specific projects, but I do know and can definitely say that the MRC has research projects in the areas where there are the problems, and we're trying to address those. So for example, in the Eastern Cape and Limpopo. The next question was, the participants at which level, this is now on the diagram showing the continuum of clinical research, it's at all levels, not just the community, so any participant in a clinical study or in a community study or something. The career disinvestment, clarification of that, and plans to address these challenges. Certainly this is a challenge because the context of research and tenure of posts, the problem of not having enough baseline posts, the whole pipeline of researchers and from a school to undergraduate is an issue that just not affects, that does not affect the MRC alone. We talked about clinical research, but in order to do that, and in the report that I showed you, the cover of one of the reports on clinical research, it talks about the old days when within tertiary hospitals, clinicians could do research besides providing teaching and patient care, and the fact that it was subsidized, for example, the diagnostic tests and so forth. Now there's a whole new move, and I think what this speaks to is the whole support for health and medical research, not just for the Medical Research Council itself. Incompatible databases, what does it mean? I think essentially it's a reflection of different sources of information and lack of standardization and to compare between projects. Query any survey? What the question? Country. Something about. I've done that. This.
Food labeling.
It was on the food label that has that.
Oh, whether we did have done any survey, sorry.
Yeah,
yep.
To check the,
Honourable Member, we haven't done specific, but the MRC via its researchers in the nutrition unit and other units are involved with government and the food safety and control divisions of the government. What I can just share with the committee members, besides formal research projects, the MRC interacts with government and other Department of Health and other government sectors by being part of advisory committees, special task teams, and so forth. So those are important areas where we do give inputs. The interaction with the food labeling and food control section, we haven't done specific assays, but there are research projects looking at food components, for example, and it's now not specifically on foods in the supermarket, but the content of meat, the lipid content and fat. So we have done those surveys in order to have baseline values available. But there is a role that we can play, but we have to be very careful as to what is our research role and what is our what are other roles. Before I get to telemedicine, that you will answer to managers becoming a lot, and soon to clarify what is a manager. I think what is important is that, again, context. Our organization is a health research, medical research organization. So what you call the operational people are actually our researchers, whether they're junior scientists or not. So they form the core, and in reality, I think it's called the unskilled and other would be the gardeners and so forth. So it's just a question of context in the nomenclature. It's not manager, not in the true sense of the word. They're actually the researchers who are doing the core business. Telemedicine, who pays?
So the question was, you know, has telemedicine been used in other countries and how effective has it been and how have we learned from that? And yes, it has been used in other developing countries, low-income countries like Brazil, China, and the lessons we've learned there is that basically telemedicine can enable healthcare. It can never replace a doctor or a nurse, but it can definitely enable healthcare. And the cost effectiveness of telemedicine has been demonstrated in these countries. However, in South Africa, we still need to prove to the Minister of Health, who has made a specific request to South Africa, to the MRC, to prove the cost effectiveness of teleradiology, especially in the area of chest X-ray. The other question about telemedicine was about the fact that these 100 telemedicine workstations that were to be deployed, how are they going to be procured and how are they going to be funded? What has currently happened is the MRC developed the prototype telemedicine workstation. What you've seen earlier was the first prototype. It has evolved substantially to a third version of the system. The new version of the system will be procured by the MRC. We are busy subcontracting a company to ensure the deployment of the system. The funder, MTN SA Foundation, has paid for 1 year of maintenance, support, deployment, everything for 1 year. What they have asked us to do is before we go out and deploy these systems is have a memorandum of understanding with the provincial departments of health, where we have a presence in each province. So no one province is being excluded. Some provinces are getting more than others, and they have to commit themselves to do the ongoing payments. And we've worked out the payments and kept it at the lowest possible rate. So that they could afford it for at least the next 10 to 15 years. Thank you.
I think one of the main questions was, do you have it in the continent, in the continent of Africa? Is there a country in the continent, not in the other continent?
On the continent, basically we're the leaders in telemedicine. Nigeria is the other country, but everyone's looking to South Africa to guide them. And we are already assisting countries like Mozambique, Mauritius, and the SADC countries, so we are supporting them in terms of telemedicine. But in terms of the rest of Africa, they're looking to the MRC and to South Africa in particular as to guide them in terms of telemedicine and mHealth.
So you have a big brother or a big sister?
I think so, yes.
Thank you, Jim. There was a question, the last one, on ensuring that the research that we do reaches the community. And I can't remember what we said last year. But the reality is we expect all our unit directors and research project managers to have, besides the initial engagement, but to also give feedback. I think one of the good examples would probably be Masikulasani or from the vaccine site preparation and clinical trials. And it is something that we, and I have to be honest, I mean, on the ground, I need to really get feedback as to what is done specifically in the units. But the motivation that drives us is that we do not use the community. We engage with the community. And certainly, for example, things like community advisory boards are not just there in name, but actual participants. But your point's taken in that we do need to, it's not just the one way that we take out of the community, but we feed back to the community. Other ways are by means of radio or interaction, for example, with schools. Then one has meetings with the parents and the teachers and feedback with the community. Radio is also used because many people within the communities listen to specific radio programs, so that's another way that we use of feeding back to the community. The next is key stakeholders in the strategic plan. The question was asked. Firstly, within it was essentially internal stakeholders in the current context of the three-year rolling strategic plan. So within the MRC, the senior researchers and managers, the board, the new board, but within the context of the current strategic plan, we did not go outside to the universities and other stakeholders. As I mentioned, this will happen when the meeting in May, June for the five-year strategic plan realized. Ways in which we can intervene to reach the MDGs, specifically, I mean, the MRC, again, is not a service provider. However, through its mandate of conducting health research and supporting the Department of Health and other sectors, for example, by advisory committees and task teams, we can only try and achieve that. Because the MDGs, all eight of them, and the 80 indicators and 20 targets are huge ask, and there are many factors that affect them, not just in health, but also in other areas. One can only try, and I think the research that MRC is doing will try and assist that. But I have to be absolutely and brutally frank, there are areas where it's going to be difficult to effect a change. The use of research funding involving other departments. Is that from DST?
Look, what I'm saying is that you do research. I mean, you said you regard violence as one area. You regard, this way you talk about unsafe water, that you do research, and there are findings which you get from there. And there's nothing you can do as a medical research concept. Somebody else must take that to research and use the information to try and solve the problem. What I wanted to know is whether you hand over the research findings to them, and whether you later monitor to ensure that what you gave them has been utilized.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Well, firstly, we hope, well, I think I'm sure that the partnerships that are done and projects are done in partnership from the beginning and not just at the end handed over. So, for example, with the Department of Agriculture or the Agricultural Research Council, it's, the issues are addressed as partnerships, and then that responsibility is shared. But certainly the information is given to them either as progress reports or technical report or in a meeting. Whether the monitoring happens, well, that I can't say. We hope that it does happen, but the responsibility is with that sector or department. But I just have to emphasize again that in these partnerships with these other sectors, they are given feedback directly and via reports too. Certain disorders involving the immune mechanism, just I think to share with the other members too, that those rows and the identification of those codes, let's say BAT and so forth, are according to the ICD-10 classification. And there is a background document where that is exploded, and you can look at the subsections. Now, for that one specifically, certain disorders involving the immune mechanism, there are probably about five subsections, and the one that's populated the most is the one that says other. So it's one of the catchphrases. But examples of the other ones are immune disorders like antibody genetic things, especially in children and so forth. So that would be an example. Subacute combined deficiency immune. So those are on the sections as well. Who owns the IP? I think Bulalani mentioned that, responded to that. Do universities apply? Do we interact with universities?
But that's one is about time.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe the income and income. But just to say about not duplicating the research, an important statement and comment. We need to have an inventory and a data bank of the research projects so that one is sure that research is not funded or duplicated. Income versus expense. I think Bulalani, talk to the budgets, please.
Thank you, Chair. I think the first question was why 279 and 579? What's the relationship between these two? The second one was why 257? The third one was who are the other funders? And the last one was why the other rental? The strat plan, Chair, and the APP, the annual performance plan, of course, are based on the overall budget of 579 million rand. What we're trying to do in our documents is to isolate 279 million rand, which we say it comes from the Department of Health. Now, of course, the other part, that's 579 minus 279, that's 300 million contracts. It's made up of more than 200 contracts. At any point in time, we've got more than 200 contracts. And for every study and funder, there is a budget that is approved by the funder. So we report to DOH what the big figures are, and in certain cases we'd actually report what the studies are as far as the contracts are concerned. Why the deficit? I think it was indicated earlier on, we were informed by Treasury that in line with the approach to cutting government funding, a number of institutions will have their budgets cut, but more above that, we looked at our surplus balances and we decided that the 10 million extra we're going to get this year we won't get. So what we have done, Chair, was to say, given a budget of 280 million rand, if you increase it by, say, 7%, because the bulk of your expenditure is salaries, you'd require about 20 million rands, an additional 20 million rands for the next year. But we've had to cut our budget, so at the end of the day, we're really sitting with the 10 extra million rands that Treasury would have given us. Plus, we've added another 4 million rands in respect of the specific projects we want to run in the NSDA area. So the deficit, the way it sits at the moment, is about 40 million rands. But we're well aware that, according to Treasury, you cannot budget for a deficit. In fact, we've got a meeting with our board tomorrow. That's your first step. They're the ones that must be able to say, that's fine, you can budget for a deficit, or no, you cannot. The second step is that you need to get approval from Treasury for you to be able to budget for that deficit. So this document is provisional, but finally it's up to the board, Treasury, and DOH to say, yes, that deficit is justifiable, or it is not justifiable. Who are the other funders? In certain cases, a member, you've got somebody sponsoring somebody to do research for 50,000 rand. So you regard that as a funder. So you'll have a lot of these funders in the system. But we're talking about the top 10 here, just based on the 90-10 principle, that those top 10 will give you about 90% of your external funding. Other rental. HIV prevention unit has got big offices in Devon, but for the purposes of the clinical trials, they've got what they call the clinical trial sites, because there's about seven of them. So we rent the space because we're not in a position to acquire. So that's the reason why you've got an extra rental expenditure. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Dudley, for coming back. Okay. Because of lack of time, I think we probably try and stop there. But before we stop there, some of the questions that you think that you wanted to answer, which have not been answered, is it possible that maybe they can be in a written form and sent to the Secretariat so that we can have a look at them?
chairman of the new board quite a lot of challenges, and one of them was really the sort of handover or takeover period. As mentioned, the appointment was on the 1st of November. We've already had about six meetings, and meeting in December, two days in January, two in February, we have one tomorrow. And a lot of that time has actually been spent on governance issues and the structures within the MRC to make sure that they're working well. We've had a lot of support from the Department of Health, from the DDG, the Directorate itself. Indeed, the Deputy Minister, Deputy Minister of Health, who under whose ambit we fall, Dr. Gwen Ramakopa, attended our first meeting, and we have had an induction, and therefore we feel that we are aligned ourselves to what the Department of Health requires. Some of the things that will be coming up soon is, and we picked up from here, is the issue of accountability. We feel that the MRC has to show a lot more accountability. It's not patent. We think we may be. According to the fact that we're established on the MRC Act, we're a public entity. We've got an executive authority in the Department of Health, answerable to the public through Parliament and Portfolio Committee, and also Treasury to a lot of things. So there's quite a lot of things that we have to take into account, and we would like to be sort of transparent in that area of accountability. We picked up a few things, for example, when the questions came about who's funding you, what are the relationships, and aren't these external funders going to direct, and to what extent are they going to influence your agenda? We like to be sensitive to those things. In terms of alignment with the national policies, addressing the priorities in South Africa, and more importantly, more than just alignment, we think we'd like to incorporate, and I think that this three-year strategic plan does incorporate, not just align itself with the national priorities. Obviously, the strategic plan for the 5 years, which we're going to start rolling in May, June, I think would be a much more comprehensive document, and this is where the issue of the stakeholders is going to come in. There are what I would call traditional stakeholders, and in the Department of Health, Department of Science and Technology, other health science research communities, universities. But we'd like to occupy our minds between now and that time to decide as to who are our troops, other stakeholders who have hitherto not been included in this process, in a kind of a managed network of stakeholders. We are aware also of the challenges, but that we, the mandate, let me put it that way. We've accepted the mandate, and we have, as I said, spent quite a lot of time on governance issues, but we'd like to now concentrate on the core business. And in the core business, the challenges have already been outlined here, and we'll have to use this word, that we need transformation in that area in terms of the structure of our units, in terms of their functionality, in terms of demographics and development. It occurred to me that the MRC is actually structured in the model of a university, where there's a board or council and a chairman, there's a president, and then the unit directors and managers. And apart from the vacancies, I think one of the things we have to deal with is mobility. Mobility in terms of upward mobility and promotions. People get appointed to positions, and if you're a unit director, a professor of head of department, and we need to engender some way in which within the units there is some degree of mobility and opportunity when people talk about promoting young researchers. We've got to find a way, as I said, it's something that's going to come up. I think we need also a paradigm shift on the emphasis. Yes, our job is a core function, generation of new knowledge in most researches, but we've already committed ourselves by the strategic plan to attend to issues of health promotion, prevention of disease, epidemiology, and health systems. Those, again, are things that are down, but I think we've got to demonstrate, and I notice that the Health Portfolio Committee takes seriously any promises that are made here. And therefore, when I say we're committed, it is still a commitment in sort of thinking. It's something we have to commit to writing and actually doing and hopefully get funding for it. And in closing, let me just mention that although I'm a new chair, a new board, I've been involved with the MRC for about 10 years in the grants committee for the institutions, and specifically the Walter Sisulu University and University of Limpopo have been constantly raised as institutions that need some attention and capacity development. I think the granting system, unfortunately, has got an intrinsic bias, and this is the way life is. You've already produced and you've already published, and therefore you find that those who over the years have built advantage may continue to have an advantage, and therefore we have to look at very creative ways of capacitating those institutions so they can compete more competitively in the grants and or in the awarding of grants. Again, it's something that that the board has to look at in terms of how we're going to do that policy. The president, yes, has been alluded to. We've had to advertise. We've got quite a lot of applicants, and tomorrow we'll be screening through. Unless somebody applies by 5 p.m. Tonight, and I use my prerogative or discretion as the chair, I don't think we'll be able to entertain unless there's no one found there. So we feel that we will be able to deal with the issue of the presidency, which has been a bit of a concern for quite some time. Let me just thank the chair and members of the board for giving us the opportunity. For us and myself in particular, it's a learning experience. I've listened, I've learned, and we have to have a very steep learning curve because our tenure is only 3 years, and we've got to deliver something. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prof. Mazai. That gives us hope that things are going to be moving. Unfortunately, the problem is time. It's always the problem of time. We're still continuing with another meeting as members, so we'll allow you quietly to leave us thanking you in what you have given us, and we accept your settler, and we're going to be monitoring you on what you have told us that you are going to be doing. Thank you very much. Members, as the MRC is moving on, the reason why you are left behind, there are two things. One, we just want to adopt some of the minutes that we had a meeting. I think we are meeting the doctors from HPSA. We are going to be adopting those minutes. That's why we want a quorum. The second one is we just want to talk about next week, what is going to be happening next week as a committee. I'm hoping that everybody has got this minute. While they are moving out, we just want to see whether do we think the content and the spelling is right in this minute? The gender is correct. There's a complaint just now. Okay, memory.
Okay, on page 3, 2.1.2, the first bullet, 2.1.2, the first bullet, the second sentence, there were also few health hospitals. I'm not sure what you want to say, health hospitals. Okay?
There were also few health hospitals that were accredited to supervise junior doctors.
What is a health hospital, Chair? That's what I'm trying to say. Let's just say hospital.
And unfortunately, that day we had Uvela was not around.
Oh,
it was somebody
okay.
from our office. So it's just few hospitals.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. And then on page, the last sentence, the committee agreed with SAMA that it should have an autonomous, independent body for the nurses and pharmacists. I mean, we're talking to SAMA about SAMA and them having their own autonomous, you know, body. Not for nurses. The comparison was that the nurses have their, yeah. So doctors are requesting, yes, that them as doctors should not fall under the HPCSA, but their own independent autonomous body as well. So I think the whole sentence has to be rephrased.
The part that is what you are
saying. For doctors, let's remove the nurses and pharmacists and say for doctors.
No, I don't think it is available, but we just need to change. All they were saying is that like
that's
the nurses
saying.
And pharmacists.
Yes,
no one can just put that
saying.
Like
no.
The nurses and pharmacists.
But, Chair, read the sentence.
The committee agrees with someone that it should have an autonomous body, which is not there. Like the both, like the pharmacist and the nurses.
Yeah.
Mm.
But you must put the word the doctor.
The doctor, okay.
Yeah. To make it a
sentence. Are you finished, Mama? You want the last page, so you should be finished. Okay.
Thanks. Sorry, I've got someone waiting for me in my office, so I'm a bit anxious. But on page 2.2.1.1. On the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, from the fifth line down to the end of that little paragraph, it's a very clumsy sentence. So I'm assuming key proposed amendments were that the majority of the members of the profession were appointed by the minister instead of elected. And then and then it needs to go something like, and that they are empowered to, but it's strung together in a way that it makes no sense. I read it about 10 times. I'm just suggesting you relook at the sentence and make some sense of it. And then on page...
Let's get into what you think we need to say, that key proposed amendments were that the majority of members of the profession were appointed by the minister instead of elected representatives as previously applied and empowered to make regulations after and not in consultation with the council.
It previously applied and empowered. It's just that this is another amendment. So we need to say something like, and that representatives must be empowered to make regulations after or not. So there's something just in between that empowered.
I think what the gist of what they were saying on that day was that they were saying, as doctors, most of them are elected by the minister, but they feel they should be elected by their body and be empowered. Doesn't that capture that?
The two thoughts are there, but they're badly strung together. So, because you can't just put, you know, it finishes the sentence as previously applied.
Okay.
And well, empowered. So it's just a way of actually just adding something in there. They'll see it when they read it.
Okay.
And then on page 3 at the bottom, it says the committee was informed that there were no incentives for doctors who had been recruited to work in the areas, whatever the areas are. And then it says they receive rural incentives of between 18 and 20. So the first sentence is saying no incentives. The second one's saying incentives, and we're not sure who the who is and who the area is. It just needs a bit of clarity there.
No, definitely we need to look at that.
Okay, that's fine for me.
Are you done?
Yes, can I say I'm fine and go?
With the amendments. Can we agree? Are there any other things that you want to add so that we can allow the members, those who want to leave?
Yeah. Under issues raised by the committee, the issue of the health center's role it's not left out here. In developing health workers and financing the training of health workers, it's not captured here, and the department has said they were going to look at that.
The question, should it be captured here or should it be captured by the department? Because this is about the...
This one, the minutes. This is the minutes of the meeting.
it was mentioned there. Okay. Can we agree that... I'm worried about those who want to go. Can we agree that we accept these minutes? But I want you to say that with the amendment so that you can say Ms. Dudley,
we accept the minutes, obviously, and that they'll be looked. The final wording will be re-looked at on some of the things.
And this is okay. While you are moving, then we have accepted your.
No, she looks at it.
We adopted the minutes.
We adopted the minutes.
Okay. While you are moving out. Honorable Dudley, we have got two areas that we need to go to, where there are baby deaths in Eastern Cape and Limpopo. And we are supposed to have, next week is a committee week. And we're trying to balance whether we go to Eastern Cape and Limpopo because there have been baby deaths, or we just go to Gauteng because that's the next province that we're supposed to go to after Free State if we're going alphabetically. Because of the fact that there's Limpopo in Eastern Cape, it meant that we needed to divide ourselves. But the problem was going to be with the people that are helping us, because most of the committees are moving out, some of them are having meetings, so we're not going to help people. We thought it would be better that we go to, on Monday, we go to Eastern Cape. The reason why we think Eastern Cape is because they had a report that was recommending certain things when they had baby deaths, which they didn't carry out. So we thought that on Monday we need to go to Eastern Cape, just on Monday. And then when we come back from Monday, we go to Gauteng on Tuesday, Wednesday, and on the last day we meet the MEC. There are certain hospitals that we need to visit. It's part of the visits that we're doing. So that is the suggestion, members. I don't know whether there's any next week.
I can do that. And if you just send me the details, I'll get back to you. Thank you.
By the way, Monday is not going to be the whole committee. It's going to be ANC opposition, but not everybody. Everybody.
Thanks. I'm tied up on Thursday and Friday, so.
And other than that, I'll make it a priority.
Thank you.
He even said that Tunda Dekhana is going to organize a place where we'll eat and sleep in Gauteng. He'll organize. No, we'll go to your place. Members, is there anything on that? Okay, if there's nothing, then let's accept it that you will be informed then as to where are you going to get your transport and where are you going to, where is your constituency, where are you going to be moving from. Okay.
Chairperson, may I just ask a question? Even if we know it's Wednesday today, do we have names of people who will be going to Eastern Cape on Monday so that we must have plans for
our lives.
Okay. I think the Eastern Cape one, they were already named. It's only that we were told that they didn't need us because they were still doing an investigation. So it's the same team that had been organized. And if I remember, it was supposed to be myself, Uma Kenya, Ndate Khanare, and Mike. Okay. I'm sure the CEO would